Psalm 56, verses 1 through 4. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. Now notice this verse, please. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I want to ask you to think with me a little bit about that expression that we find in Psalm 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Lord, look upon us this morning with Your guiding Holy Spirit. Anoint Your word to our hearing. Anoint me, Lord, by Your power to be able to preach clearly and straightforwardly and just what You want to be said. Father, help us as we stand here today in a world that often poses frightening circumstances around us, in a life that sometimes catches us by surprise. Help us, Lord, not to be falsely proud of ourselves for not being afraid, but help us to know that when we are afraid, there is a place to trust. Help us in Jesus' name to see Him. And amen. Psalm 56. One of my first real impressions of this verse. I'm trying to figure out about how many years ago it was. Just suffice it to say it was quite a while. The wife of one of my dear minister friends had discovered that she was afflicted with cancer, and it worsened, and she grew weaker. Had the opportunity to visit with her in the hospital one day, and she shared with those of us who were there. There were three or four of the preachers who had come to visit. And she shared with us there that day her favorite verse, the verse that she had come to lean upon. She didn't tell me or tell us that day where the location of the verse was. She simply shared with us the first words of that third verse that said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Now the Lord was merciful to her in her sickness and took her home from that sickness without a prolonged and long struggle. But that few moments that she spoke of those words has been a verse that I have remembered for a long time. What time I am afraid. This song was written on a particular occasion in the life of David. It was written on the occasion that was spoken of in 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21, and I want you to look at verses 10 through 13. I want you to look at the circumstance. Now, this psalm, David says, he tells us at the beginning of this psalm that it was written when the Philistines took him to Gath. Gath was a city of the Philistines. There were five large cities, and each one had their own king. And among them was the city of Gath. Now, the city of Gath had one other claim to fame as a city of the Philistines. It also happened to be the hometown of a fellow named Goliath. You remember him? He was an individual that David met at another time when he might very well have been a little bit afraid as well. David was a young lad at that time. He was not even fully adulthood as of yet. He came on a mission from his father and found this man whom different estimates have estimated him to be somewhere between 9 and 11 feet tall. Whichever one it was, he was a pretty good sized fella. And he mocked David because David came to him with a sling and a stone, but David came to him in the name of the Lord. The Lord delivered David that day from Goliath. He delivered him on the other occasions, but there were times, though God delivered him, David found himself to be afraid of the circumstance around him. And if you look with me in 1 Samuel 21, I'm going to begin reading in verse 8, and we'll read through verse 13. And this is the time when our text, Psalm, was drawn from. And David said unto Ahimelech, "And is there not here under thy hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." Well, the haste was to get away from Saul. This is after the time when Jonathan had shot the arrow beyond David and told David that his father indeed was trying to kill him, and David left. Well, he comes to Ahimelech, and Ahimelech was the priest. And he asked for bread, and the priest gave him some of the holy bread that came out of the tabernacle each day. He asked for a sword or a spear for a weapon. And Ahimelech said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, "There's none like that. Give it to me. That's the biggest sword around. Let me have it." And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. And he went to Achish, king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, this is now, they're taunting David. "Is not this David, the king of the land? Did not they sing one to another of him and dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And David laid up the words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands. And he scribbled on the doors and of the gate, and he let his spittle fall down upon his beard." He recognized himself to be in a bad situation. And he decided that rather than being the bold one, he would suddenly play like he was out of his mind. And Achish said, "Take this guy away from me. I don't need a bad man here." What was it that made David so uncomfortable? There was a world around him that literally mocked him because of the very success that had built up his name. He had been a very successful soldier, but now the very king that he had served was trying to kill him. He ran away, and he ran right into the arms of his adversaries. Now, that's got a lot of strange things about it. Well, what I want you to notice today is that he was sore or severely afraid. He had some things for which he had no immediate or strong answer. He later wrote the words of this psalm remembering himself to have been that one that was very afraid. And he begins the psalm with the first two verses. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, that is man, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. You see, David, as he remembers the struggle that he found himself running from Saul, running into Achish's army, and being trapped between them, really, there were those who would swallow him up. There are a lot of things in our world today that act as if they're trying to swallow us up, especially in our walk of faith. There are a lot of things in this world today. There are a lot of attitudes. There are a lot of ungodliness that would fight daily to try to silence the name and our profession of faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the first thing I want you to see this morning is that David's beginning point was a cry for mercy. O thou most high. It wasn't about David's strength. It wasn't about David's skill. It wasn't about David's accomplishments. It wasn't about David's history. None of that meant anything when there was an adversary that was about to swallow him up. He needed something else. Now, folks, before this becomes the idea of just a history lesson, make it a personal lesson, okay? Go with me back over into 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Lord said, through Peter, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That's kind of like being swallowed up, is it not? You see, we have an adversary. David had an adversary that he struggled with daily. David had an adversary that he was very conscious of. David had adversaries all around him, and he was cognizant of the fact that they were stronger than he was by himself. Folks, we have an adversary that's like that. Our adversary is the devil. And like a roaring lion, his intent is to devour, to destroy, to silence the witness, the testimony, and the obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And who's he trying to devour? Sometimes we think, well, he don't know about me. He's more worried about the big folks. He's more worried about the fame. No, he knows who we are. And he's our adversary, the same as he is of the well-known. He has a lot of effect when he can lead one of those who call themselves a minister and can lead them astray and people mock. Now, that's like David here. They used to brag on this guy, and here he is in the pits. But don't get too proud, folks, because Satan knows us little guys the same as he does the big ones. And he would devour us. We live in a world where it seems like in places that he's being somewhat successful at doing that, doesn't it? That's where David comes back to verse 3. We pray for God's mercy. We pray for God's mercy because God is plenteous in his mercy. You can look in Psalm 86. Two different verses, Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. You can look down in verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art art God, full of compassion and grace, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. You go over just a little further over into Psalm 130 in verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. You see, beloved, David could cry, have mercy, because he was cognizant of the fact that the Lord had an abundant mercy. That's our starting point in our warfare. Peter also spoke about us living in a warfare. God recognized that we would be in this struggle. There's a lot of soldiers that have gone into battle. They've gone in doing what they were supposed to do, but they went in afraid. They knew what might happen. Now, when you know what could happen and you know what's around you, what do? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You see, our trust in the Lord should be at its highest when we recognize our own weakness and we have nothing of ourselves to stand upon. When I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something. David didn't feel very trusting. What he felt was afraid. This is not a feeling of emotion. It's not a feeling of the flesh. It is a commitment of our will. What time I am afraid, I will trust. You see, folks, Satan will make us afraid. The world around us will surprise us with things that make us afraid. We are encouraged on many occasions. One of those phrases that's repeated over and over in the Scripture is, fear not, be not afraid. But the flesh reacts in fear. What time? David didn't say, if I ever get that way. What he said is the full recognition that in our lives, folks, there's going to be times when we recognize and feel our weakness. What time? I am afraid. I will. He didn't say I will if I feel like it. He didn't say I will when I can. What he said was, I will. Folks, what I'm talking to you about this morning is something we have to commit ourselves to do before those moments of fear ever come about. If we wait till those moments for us to make up our mind, then we'll be overwhelmed by the world about us. We will face those moments. What am I going to do when that comes? Let me just use this illustration. I'm a baseball lover. Okay? I like to watch baseball games. One of the things that you hear from coaches, one of the things that you hear from commentators, one of the things that you see demonstrated by the ball players, they think ahead. If this happens, this is what I'm going to do. If this happens, this is what I will do. If the ball's in here, that's where I will throw it. They think ahead. You see, folks, we need to think ahead in our lives and recognize there'll be times when we feel our fear, we feel our anxiety, we feel our weakness. When that happens, what will I do? I will trust in thee. Trust. Be confident in. It's not a matter of being braggadocio about ourselves. It's not a matter about having all the bravo about ourselves. It is the matter that in my weakness, I'm going to trust in God who does not fail. I will have my confidence in Him. Things that make us afraid. Well, think for a moment about some various men in the Bible that experience being afraid. Abraham was told to do something he didn't know if he could do. He left to go do it. He was told to offer his son, Isaac. He trusted in the Lord. Mary was told she was going to have a baby. But before it got to that, when that angel came, the first thing he said was, "Be not afraid, for thou hast found favor with the Lord." But watch it, what the Bible tells us about what Mary felt. She was troubled at this saying. The disciples were on a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and it was about to be overwhelmed. Jesus was lying in the boat in the back, asleep. They went running to him. "What's the matter with you? Don't you care that we're about to drown here? O ye of little faith, why are you fearful?" Why? They didn't know what was going to happen. Mary didn't understand how things were going to happen. Abraham didn't know why God would give him this son to take him back. We live in a world where some things frighten us because of the bigness of them. Sometimes they frighten us because of the intensity of them. Sometimes they frighten us because of the uncertainty of them. What time I'm afraid, whether I understand it, whether I see it, when it's there, I will trust in the Lord. Folks, I got to thinking about that. We live in a world today where God has said to us that things will wax worse and worse. He's told us that there was going to be wars and rumors of war. He told his disciples that men would deliver them up to the magistrates, that they would be put to death. You understand that trusting in the Lord is not just begging, "God, make this situation different." It is trusting that God in His wisdom and in His graciousness knows exactly what He's doing every minute. Abraham didn't know why God was calling on him. God knew why He sent him to offer his son. Abraham left early in the morning. He trusted what God said. Mary didn't see how it could happen, but she trusted. "Even so be it unto me according to thy word." You see, folks, our trust is not just a faint wish. Our confidence is that God, who is almighty and who is all wise, who cannot lie, who has never failed, and there are a lot of other things you could add to that, but my trust is that because of those characteristics, He knows what's going on, and He's going to take care of me. And if it pleases Him for my life upon this earth to be ended, then I trust the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ to know that I will rest in His presence. I believe what God said. I trust in Him. Our trust grows out of our belief in what He has said and what He has done. I will praise Him in His Word. I'll praise Him as I stay in His Word. I'll praise Him as I use His Word, and I'll praise Him for what He said in His Word. My trust will bring a praise of God. It may not bring a change of my circumstance immediately. It may not bring a change of my circumstance at all. But it will bring a praise of God. My trust will bring a praise to the Lord. In His Word, I keep going back to His Word. I don't base my trust on what somebody else said. I don't base my trust on what somebody else had happen in their life. I base my trust upon the Word of God. And I praise Him for His Word. Folks, what is it today? Every one of us is different. Every one of our life circumstances are different. Every one of us has moments and times when we are afraid. Sometimes I think our fear is simply a fear of failure. I'm afraid sometimes that I may let the Lord down. Let me ask you to conclude with me by looking at what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to begin with verse 31. What shall we say to these things? What am I going to say? What time I'm afraid? What am I going to say in those moments? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can stand? Who can overcome us? They may kill me. Jesus said, used in both Matthew and also in Luke, he cautioned them not to fear those that could only kill the body. Because they would. But to reverence the one who controlled body and soul, who is God in heaven. What can I say? If God be for me, and you'll notice that he answers that question. If God be for me, God is for me. Well, how do I know that? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? As he brought Jesus Christ out of the grave, how will he not give us who are with him in the grave all things that we need? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even as the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril? And you can add Philistines who are mocking us. You can add a roaring lion who would devour. Who can separate us? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I may be afraid, but I can trust in him, because I'm convinced that nothing can take me away from him because of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. You see, folks, David understood the promise that had been made to him. David understood the covenant that had been given to him. His household was going to stand. David was given to know he was going to be the king of Israel. And it didn't look very much like it at that time. And yet he knew what God had said. He would trust in God. Folks, we will be afraid. You're not a failure when your flesh feels that uncertain. You're not a failure. You're a human. What time I am afraid? Our failure comes when we fail to trust in the Lord. What time I am afraid? I will trust in thee. Go home this afternoon. Write that verse on a card. Stick it up by your mirror. Stick it up on the door where you go out. Tape it on your steering wheel of the car. Every place you see regularly and often, you write that verse. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Didn't say it was going to stop him from being afraid. But it said he had confidence in whatever God would do. Folks, God said, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus called us to step out of our comfort zone. That makes us afraid. But when he calls us to follow him, we can trust him because he knows exactly what he's calling us to do. Put our trust in the Lord and praise him in his word. Lord, help us in the world in which we live, in the places we struggle, in the circumstances that are so difficult about us, moments when we don't see an answer. Help us, Lord, to trust in you, because known unto you are all your works from the beginning. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.